I may be dating myself a little bit by telling you about my fascination with Where's Waldo? Have you ever played the game or seen the puzzles, Where's Waldo? The thing with the game is that there's so many things going on that when we're trying to find the desired object, which is Waldo, with his simple striped shirt and his glasses, it's difficult, right? But he's right there. Can you see him? Now, if we were trying to find Waldo on a blank slate, say for instance, that'd be easy. But part of the game is that there are so many distractions. Now, one of the things about this puzzle is that a lot of the objects in the puzzle, and there's all kinds of different ones, this happens to be a Christmas one, a lot of the objects look like the target for which we are searching, but it's not it. And when we look a little closer at where we think Waldo is, we realize, oh, that's not Waldo, that's something else. And if you're like me, it's kind of easy to get carried away in the puzzle by kind of honing in on the different things that are going on. And you completely forget about Waldo. Kind of reminds me of Christmas. There's so much going on. Really, so much. And I don't need to tell you this, but there's so much going on with Christmas that losing sight of the simple message can overtake us very easily. We have so much around this time of year thrown at us. It invades our senses, and it's kind of easy to become overwhelmed and even sometimes kind of numb, really. We find ourselves at times focusing on the wrong object. In our scripture, we read that the very first people that God revealed the good news to was the shepherds, the simplest of people. He didn't try to make a splashy presence, which seems almost counterintuitive. I mean, he's God. But he didn't try to reveal himself in a splashy way or to princes or the rich or the influential. In fact, as we look deeper into the scriptures, we realize that the shepherds are actually among the lowest class of people at the time on the social scale. So why would the heavens open to them first? I have a theory. Now, we've all seen a Charlie Brown Christmas. I mean, who hasn't, right? Charlie Brown spends the show, as so many people today, looking for Jesus in all the wrong places. He's looking for the true meaning of Christmas. And he thinks that maybe it's putting on a Christmas play or finding just the right tree to decorate. But all the other kids are arguing over all the details, and Charlie Brown goes and buys this little scrawny tree. And the others are making fun of him and even say that he's stupid. And in the end, his friend Linus tells Charlie Brown the secret, the true meaning of Christmas. And he recites the Bible verses about the shepherds and about Jesus' birth. We're in danger of missing Christmas in spite of Christmas. It's just the world we live in. We're surrounded by so many Christmas details that they're vying for our attention, all of them wanting to be the most important. Have you heard of anyone being stressed out over the holidays? Is that a rare thing? And really, compared to Mary and Joseph, really stressed out? Think about that. So all these things grab our attention simply because, I mean, I'm not telling you any secret here, they're more enjoyable, really. Glitter really is far more beautiful than animal urine. And the night before Christmas is a cuter story than the Christ child born in unsanitary conditions while authorities search to murder him. We want the season to be filled with wonder and magic and beauty. And the interesting thing is that without the tinsel or the wrapped presents or the holiday carols or the greeting cards or the store discounts or the Christmas trees or the shiny ornaments, without any of those things, there is more wonder and magic and beauty than we can possibly, than our senses can possibly process. Far more than we can duplicate in sparkly lights. But it takes boldness. It takes a childlike curiosity. It takes a heart of simplicity to look past the lights and the glitter and all the holiday amenities to see Christmas. Now, with these Where's Waldo puzzles, I guess I never got as much into them as some people. Maybe I didn't have the patience. I had friends that, when Waldo first came out, they enjoyed the game so much that they got the books and they got, you know, the different Waldo things. And they would not only try to find Waldo, but if you really get into the game, there's other things that they ask you to find, including Waldo's dog, where only the tail is showing. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot to these Waldo puzzles. But, you know, for me, I could kind of take it or leave it. Once for my birthday, somebody gave me a Where's Waldo 1,000-piece puzzle. Now, I thought about putting it together. I really did. But to be honest, I really wasn't all that excited about it. I wasn't that motivated. So I didn't. And maybe I missed all the excitement of the accomplishment that other people were enjoying. Hard to know without really participating. Does anybody actually see Waldo in this picture? A couple of you? What about the rest of you? Are you kind of like me, where you lost interest and really didn't care after a while? Okay, where is Waldo? There he is. Yep, he's actually there. And honestly, some of these puzzles, I've looked and looked and looked and decided, it's a trick. There is no Waldo. Somebody is getting a good laugh out of this. So here's the thing. For some of us, the glitter is wonderful. And that's really all we want. We want the sparkly Christmas. The one that, you know, you can see once a year and it's shiny and it's pretty. We're not really interested enough to peer past these things to find something more extraordinary. We're happy with the glitter. But there is something more extraordinary than anything we've ever encountered. And if we do look past the pretty lights, we have to be prepared for our lives to change forever. There's a story about a shepherd who happened to be a youth on that very first Christmas night. And now he's old, and his grandson is sitting nearby listening as he recalls that night. He says, a long, long time ago, when I was not much more than a little boy, I was out on the Judean hills one night with some other shepherds. We were keeping watch over the flock, and an angel of the Lord came upon us, and the glory of the Lord shone around us, and we were afraid. But then the angel said, "Fear not, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And you will find this baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Now, when he had said this, the old man's lips quivered, but no sound came out. And then the grandson turns and he looks with wide puzzled eyes into the grandfather's face, and he says, "But grandfather, is that all? What happened next? What did you do when you heard the good news? Was what the angel said really true? What did you see? Was the Christ child really born?" And the old shepherd sadly shakes his head and he says, "I never knew. I didn't go to see. Some say it's all a myth. Others say they found him. The light of God and the power of life, they say, was there in that manger. But for me, I could never be quite sure because I never did go and see." Now, to give him the benefit of the doubt, maybe the young shepherd boy wasn't as struck by all of the holiness as the other shepherds. Or perhaps he didn't really want to believe. Maybe believing was going to be inconvenient to his current lifestyle. Or perhaps he was shy or scared. And there was no one, none of the other shepherds, that reached out to him and said, "Come with me. Let's go together." Or maybe he thought that once he got there, he'd be judged by other people that were there. Oh, whatever his reason, it distracted him away from something forever life-changing. The great message that Jesus comes with is a very simple one. Love. That simple. Love. And the message, it's not just simple. It's so far beyond simple that if we get distracted, we could miss it altogether. I told you earlier that I have my theory about why God revealed the message of the Messiah first to these simple shepherds. Well, I believe that because of their social status, they could best understand the message of simplicity. They were in that unique position to really hear it. Now, the hard job for us is to take all of the glitz and all of the season and use it as a catalyst to move our spirit toward the center of Christmas, to not distract us, but to be signposts along the way to point us toward. We need to be able to clearly see the Messiah. We need to not miss Christmas in spite of Christmas. We do this by being intentional. Now, God's simple act of love born in a manger was no accident. Oh, that was planned. The shepherds were no coincidence. That was all part of the great message that God wants to give us today. And it was all part of a plan to point us toward this one thing. And here we are, 2,000 some years later, gathered together to witness to this wonderful event. This Christmas, I invite you to look harder. Look harder. Look with intentionality past the glitz of the season. Surround yourself with it absolutely. It makes us feel good. But look past it. Don't miss Christmas in spite of Christmas. Amen.